Well, welcome to Collective Church. Thank you for tuning in to this sermon, and I really do hope Jesus speaks to you in the midst of this sermon. But as a pastor, I just want to encourage something. If you're only tuning in online, we just want to say thank you and welcome, but also to push you towards finding a local church where you can be a part of a local body physically. So thank you for tuning in. You can find any information at collectivechurch.co, and grace and peace be with you.
God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every one of us here and everyone that's watching online. I just thank you that we have the opportunity to get into your word, to be encouraged by it, Lord, and learn something new or be reminded of something. And I just pray that we'd listen to you, that we'd be present with you during this time and during our time of worship. And I just thank you that we get to do this. I thank you that we have this space and place to be able to do this, Lord. And I just thank you for everything that you're doing in and through this community and through each and every one of us, Lord. And I just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you guys have heard me preach before, you kind of know I kind of have this structure. And when I talk about and when I first start, I always bring up this. The human condition, just kind of this premise of this problem we face as humans, something that I think we all struggle with or we've seen through other people. Maybe it's something that this is personally a struggle for myself, but it is something that I think we all can relate to. So just anytime you guys hear me preach, anytime you guys hear me teach, this is kind of what I do. And this is my, just the way I structure things. And so the idea and the message that we're going over is faith and what that looks like and the intention behind it and like why. Why do I have faith and why do I do the things that I do? But not just with our faith, but with our resources, with our time. And so we'll get into it. And I've had to kind of think about this. And so faith and the association of our giving is so widely tied to our bank accounts, our outward expressions of our authenticity, quote-unquote authenticity, of the grandiose things I do for the Lord. We live in a time where the flame of our fire for the Lord is stoked by the quick-burning pieces of scraps and paper rather than fed by well-conditioned pieces of tinder and timber to keep the flame going. More often than not, I've noticed that our faith fleets more often because it is associated to our feelings rather than our Father. And the challenge in this, because we're going to go over the verses in Mark 12, verses 38 to 44, a little short passage of scripture, and we're going to talk about just this whole interaction, this whole witness, and this whole thing Jesus watches. An encounter, not necessarily with him in a person, but something he witnesses and exclaims to the people that are there. And so first off, when it comes to faith, I've had to ponder my own life journey and just the challenges I've seen. I like to keep up with what's going on in the church, what's going on in the world, and kind of the challenges we face within our culture. And the common thing of what I've found, this is just my opinion, there's no statistics I could provide you, so you could quote me on that. I'm no researcher, I am no doctor, and I don't have those statistics for you. But it's just observation from my own life and what I've seen through the church around me, through the communities around me. And I think more often why people leave the faith is because a lot of times our faith is associated to our feelings rather than our Father. And don't get me wrong, when it comes to our feelings, I think it's very important. This is not to disregard and claim and proclaim that because of Jesus and because I have God, all bad things go away. In my own life experience, that is not the case. I think God lately has been teaching me and reminding me that those things can coexist. I don't have to have one or the other. They could be together, and I don't have to be ashamed of those things. And so we're going to read in Mark 12, verses 38 to 44. And starting in 38, it reads this. Then he said to him in his teaching, "Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pleasure make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. The one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrin. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who give to the treasury. For they put all in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." And growing up in church and growing up in just the Christian circles, more often than not, this portion of scripture has always been taught to me about tithing. Which, yes, there's some tithing involved, but this is not what we tithe of. And I'm not giving you a message on that. This is not that. I think this story and the context of this is more talking about the intention of our faith. Because when we look at the context prior to this, even before verse 38, there's a lot of talks about the intention. Jesus is cornered to talk about by the Pharisees about who they should pay taxes to. And there's this whole ploy to try to get him in the wrong so they could arrest him. But the way he words it really phrases and shows the intention behind why we do the things we do. And even other portions of the chapter, I think when you observe, there is a lot of context of intention behind action. And so as we look at this, specifically the very last portions of the scripture, 41 to 44, and prior to that, 38 to 40, there's these two different worlds. And here's a challenge because, to be quite honest, this might be a little, I'm not trying to be mean, I am not trying to be condemning in any way, but I've just observed Christianity and have been involved in many circles and many communities. And here's the thing, when it comes to faith, it does not need to be grandiose to be authentic. It does not to be wordy to be authentic. It doesn't have to be in special rooms or places for it to be authentic and to be used by God. And I think more often than not, we get so addicted to the personalities, to the atmosphere, to the feelings they evoke, not to what faith really is. And here's the challenge, because I struggle with this. I've fallen into this. This is not something that's far from me. But learning how to create a space where my feelings aren't just associated with my faith, and my faith is more associated with the Father. Because those are clear distinctions, and the intention behind those things are two different things. When I do things out of feelings, not often are they thought out. When I do things when I'm going to glorify God with the Father in mind, the intention looks rather different. And so the challenge here, because, yeah, like I said, I grew up in church, and hearing this message, it always was about tithing more often than not. And I used to have this gripe with my tithing and my giving. And I would always struggle with the process of me giving financially to a church because I was like, oh, I'm not in a place where I could do that. And this is not saying give your livelihood. This is not to say give your livelihood. When we look at this story, it's the intention behind the widow's giving. It's not because she gave her all and what's left of it. It's because of her intention as to why she's giving. We're not given all the details of what happens after this. We don't see everything after this. But Jesus brings his disciples together, commends her actions to them, and it has to make you think, why did he do that? Why is he talking to his closest people and telling them that this widow is doing more than those rich people, than the people that are putting an abundance of funds in there? And we have to look at this story because prior to this, we see the whole description of scribes, and they're dressed up in nice robes and kind of gallivanting through the marketplaces trying to, you know, woo the people. How exciting. And I think we kind of get that way in our own faith, where it's, I need to impress. I need to make sure people know I'm a Christian by the way I talk, maybe by the way I walk, maybe it's a certain way I dress and how I look. But yeah, that looks great outwardly, but man, there are some ugly Christians on the inside. I am sorry to say that. But you could look so nice on the outside, but the inside of your heart is famished. It is not centered on the Lord. And this is why I'm talking about this, because I think our faith and the intention with that is so important. Because I've struggled with this, not just the resources and finances, but with planning a church. This is going to be very blunt and honest. Planning a church is not hard. Or, it is hard. Sorry for saying it is not hard. It is by far one of the most difficult journeys I've been on in my faith walk. Because there's this whole process of really putting my faith and trusting in God with what is here. This is a journey and outcome that I have no real control over. I may have some influences, but ultimately, I have to give this to God because this is only His doing. And what He can do in and through this community, He will grow it. But that has to come with, okay, am I going to trust that? Am I going to associate my feelings to what I do and be like, I have to do all these things. I have to make sure everything's set up. I have to make sure we get our finances in a row or whatever. Make sure people are giving to the church. Make sure all this looks good because we need to grow. But then at the same time, I feel like God's really been teaching me like, no, I don't need any of that from you. I don't need you to do any of that. Because when we look at scripture, he doesn't need us for anything. God could do whatever he wants. We know that he used a donkey to talk to people. He spoke the world into existence by just saying, let there be light. So the idea of us being able to do something for him, we have to also understand humbly that, yeah, no matter what I do, it's still never going to be enough. And we have to remember that because that's not why I give, because I'm trying to assimilate the same amount of what Jesus did on the cross. There's nothing I'm going to do, nothing I'm going to give that will atone and make the same, weigh the same as Jesus' sacrifice and what Jesus did for us. And so continuing on in this discussion and through this whole idea of faith and through this story, the challenge here is, it really is the intention of our faith. Is our faith going to be intended to worship God? Am I tying it to the characteristics of my Heavenly Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Or am I tying that to the atmosphere of the worship I participate in, or the quality of the room, or how many people are showing up, how big the room is. And I listened to a lot of different sermons just specifically on this story, and we're not going to go into all the things that I was thinking about while writing this. This is more so just the believing that if I give, God's going to do something. Do I actually believe that? This is not just my resources. Do I believe that my service, when I serve at church, when I am in communion with people, do I believe that's going to do something? And this is where I'm going into this as, no, it's the intention behind why she gave. She's believing that her 2 cents is going to do something. Even though this is her all, she has nothing left. She's a widow. That's the only details we get. And when we look at what, we have to look at the detail that Jesus was watching all the people that are giving. So when he's watching these people and how they're giving, there's implications that there's people that are giving that are like maybe playing with the change and making all the noise possible so people know, oh, this person has money. Let's see what they're doing. Let's hear how much they give. It's the idea of being louder makes your faith even more authentic. And so we have to look at the 2 different perspectives of faith here. We have the widowed woman who only has 2 cents. She has lost her husband, from what we know, because that's what is a widow. And she gave her livelihood. We see the rich people kind of playing with their money, making sure people hear how much they're giving. When faith is associated with other things, it's just noise. When faith is associated with the intention of, I'm believing God's going to do something with this, Jesus, God revels at that. God is astonished by people's faith when they do that. When we see any interaction, when faith is associated in an interaction with Jesus, Jesus is always moved by compassion when he sees people come to him because they have this faith with the intention of, they've heard stories of this Jesus. They've heard stories of who this man is. So they're going to him believing that he can do things that they can't even imagine. I think of the story of the centurion who has a sick, correct me if I'm wrong, is it a slave or a servant or a son? And so he comes to Jesus, asks him to heal him, because he knows that he has the power to. That if you say for him to be healed, he'll be healed. Any other encounter we know and see, these people are coming with a faith and intention that they've heard of who this man is, and they're coming believing that he could do what he says he can do. And here's my encouragement to you guys, and hopefully a challenge as well. Through my own personal experiences, because trust me, I've wrestled with God for a very long time when it started with my faith walk. And I remember the first experiences of kind of God putting me in a challenging spot of, am I going to choose him or am I going to trust myself? Am I going to trust the plans I made for myself with my idea of what my faith looks like right then and there? Of, I know what this could lead to, whereas if I trust in the Lord, if I give my life to him, I don't know what that's going to look like. I have these things, and if I give it to him, I'm kind of scared if I give it to him, because I don't know what he's going to do with that. It's the idea of relinquishing control and putting yourself in a position to humbly follow him. And so, from personal experience, this is back in high school, my senior year. Oh my gosh, that was so long ago. I'm just kidding. It wasn't too long ago. But my senior year of high school, my family went through this tremendous change, the loss of my cousin AJ. And also through this time, I had great grand plans for myself as an artist of, this is what I'm going to do, this is the college I'm going to apply to, this is the career I'm going to choose, because I have all these connections, and this is going to benefit me in the long run. And as I started coming to the Lord of, like, now making my faith my own thing, and not the environment I grew up in, God put me in this position of, all right, Are you going to trust me? Are you going to have faith that if you give me these things, I will bless it? And I remember having this conversation with my family, not right away. It was never right away because I was always scared. But I just remember it was like probably 2 weeks before graduation. In my mind, I already had come to this decision. I am dropping my scholarship. I am pursuing ministry. And I haven't told my parents anything about that. And we're preparing for dinner. And we lived in this town, small town home, where we are all very close because there's a lot of family living together. And I remember that my parents were asking me to bring out the trash. And I was like, just stressed because I was like, oh no, I have to tell them. And I don't know how that's gonna go. And I have been praying about this because I was like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm terrified to tell my parents because if I tell them, I'm gonna have the lecture of a lifetime that I'm making the wrong choice. This is not the wisest thing. And then I broke. We got, they were asking me to take out this trash, and then I just started weeping. I just started bawling in front of them, and they're confused. They're like, are you okay? And I'm just like, I can't even say anything because I'm just like, like crying, weeping uncontrollably. And my parents are like, what's going on? What's happening? And after 10 minutes of straight up crying because I'm so scared and like, I don't know what's gonna happen next, we finally like sit down at the dinner table. And this is all because they asked me to take out trash, guys. So take out your trash or you might cry. That's a message for another time. But I remember just like, I broke. And then I was talking with my parents after finally I caught my breath after like hyperventilating. And then we sat there in silence. And I was like, I feel like God's calling me into ministry. And then it was silent for 5 minutes. And then in my mind, it felt like hours. And I was like, oh no, I'm gonna be in trouble. They're gonna tell me I'm being dumb. And then legit, this is what my parents said, that we've been praying for someone in our family to pursue ministry. And then this relief of, because of my prayers, of my intention during that time period of wrestling with God, of feeling like he's calling me into something beyond me, that's the great thing of faith, is it's gonna be beyond you. It's gonna be a vision and thing that you cannot see right away, but it's a direction that you can follow. And so, right then and there, I just remember having this weight lifted off my shoulders and just kind of like laughing and giggling because I was like, dang, why didn't you guys tell me this sooner? But it was this whole thing, like this story of the widow. We don't know what happens then after this, but we understand that her intention, the faith she's having in this moment, that she's giving her all. She didn't show up there because Jesus is there. Oh, hello. But it's like there's other people and other scribes that are giving because they know Jesus is there. So they're trying to make sure they get some little gold stars because they want Jesus to see what they're doing. This woman's not going with that intention of she knows Jesus is there. And she needs him to see how she does this. She's going because she's trusting that if she gives her all, that this is going to be used for something great. She went through hell. She lost her husband. And this is all her livelihood. This is what's left of it. And here's the challenge. Here's the thing. when it comes to this, and this is where the gospel story is in this, because like I said, I believe this is not just a story and an encounter about tithing. More often than not, I've had this specific passage more associated to the tithing. But more so, I believe this is more of an encouragement to our faith. It's not about how much we give, but how we give. And how we give doesn't have to look like our resources. It doesn't have to look like our funds all the time. And I hope this is also an encouragement to you. When it comes to tithing, 10% could look different for everyone. God doesn't give us, oh, you have to give this much. He asks us just 10% of our first fruits. That is something I think we all hopefully could be encouraged and challenged in to test out. But back to it, sorry, sidetrack. Faith doesn't need to be grandiose to be authentic. As we see in this story, we see scribes dressed up in, let's do for example, Gucci or Louis Vuitton, and being like, oh, look at what I'm wearing. You like my chanclas? But it's this whole thing of, they're trying to look outwardly big and holy to these people. And this is what I believe God is teaching through these portions of scripture. It's because he gave, so I give. It's because he gave, so I give. When we start associating what we do and our faith to the Father, and that he sent Jesus to die for our sins and cover that, and believing that from there that he could do tremendous things, it's going to be a challenge. It's not going to be an easy thing to let go of and be like, okay, God, I'm trusting you. Here you go. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And know this, like, he doesn't need anything from us. He just wants us to realize the grace that has been poured out for us. That nothing we can do can equate to what he has done. We give what we give humbly because he gave willingly. We give what we can give humbly because he gave willingly. Why you give shouldn't be out of, oh, I want to make sure people see what I'm doing. Why I bless other people is because I want people to know that, oh, I can bless people. It's you do all those actions of giving humbly because he gave willingly. Like when you start giving your time, your resources, because you've come to experience the grace that Jesus died for your sins so that we could have reconciliation and that we could see the personification of love, it does change you. You can't help but change when you encounter that, when you experience that. And here's the main point. My mission statement is we give not because I have to, because we want to. God doesn't want us to be like, oh, I have to. Here's my, No one wants that. When you interact with people that give because they're like, okay, here you go. I don't want that. If someone's giving me a gift because they feel obligated to do it because, oh, it's your birthday, so here you go. I don't want that. I want an intentional gift. And it's like when we're intentional with our giving, because we're like, okay, man, God has blessed me. Here it is. And like I said, this doesn't just have to apply to our bank account. Our giving, I feel like in today's society, giving is highly associated with our money. Yes, it is a resource, but there's other things that we're also capable of giving. And it's not just money. When people have spent time with me, that has also been an invaluable resource of giving. When other leaders have served me in the church, that has been an invaluable resource. And when it comes to this intention, it's like, why? What do I want to see God do? And here's the challenge when it comes to that intentionality, is when you give with intention, what do you want to see him do? What is that prayer like? You know? Here's my life, Lord. Do something, okay? What is that vision you have for it? Do you have direction for that? I remember when I first was starting this journey as a 18, 19-year-old pursuing full-time ministry. That wasn't that long ago. I'm only 30. That wasn't that long ago. But I remember one of my youth leaders asking me, being like, he used to call me Easy Money, so he's like, Easy Money, what do you feel like the Lord's teaching you? And this is after I did the whole, okay, I'm going to trust the Lord, drop the scholarship, pursue ministry. And this is a year in, and I just remember that question of being posed to me, like, where do you feel like God's leading you? Where do you think that's going to be? And my answer was, I feel like it's a pastor. And I kind of like was like, I don't want that. This is not something I want. Because back then, trust me, if you met me, I was not comfortable in my own skin back then. Doing things like this, being a part of community and being honest and teaching the word was not something I dreamed of. And going back to this whole thing of my testimony of I gave what I had and I gave it up to him because I was like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know what this looks like. And to be quite honest, it kind of does scare me. But I'm going to trust that you're going to do something with that, that you're going to do something with my life and you're going to bless that. You're going to bless others through that. And so the challenge here, when it comes to our silence and solitude and things to think about, when it comes to maybe your resources financially or the service you do provide when you're at a church service or community, what is it you want to see? How do you want to see God bless that? You have to have direction for that. If you're just throwing it in the air, like, cool, God could do something. But it's like, all right, God, can you multiply this? Can you touch other people's hearts to reach them? Like, there's intention with what we do. That's how we work out our faith. Faith is a spiritual workout. And this is just from my own experiences when it's come to my physical journey of fitness. When movement has no intention, it's not going to benefit you. Just like our faith, when our faith has no intention, where is it going to go? And so the question to think about in this next 10 minutes of silence and solitude is when you give, whether that is resources or the service you provide or willingly, what is it you want to see? Ask yourself, whether it is here at church, whether it is your personal life, whether it is your career life, what is your intention in your giving there? All right, Lord, here's my workplace. Okay, now what? What do you want to see him do there? All right, God, here's my resources. Okay, what do you want to see him do? There has to be an intention behind it. Like, yes, God can do things with whatever, but it's like, He'd like to hear it from you. God, I want you to do something with my family. Like the prayer my parents had for someone in our family, and that was me. It's like, there has to be intention in that. And so in these next 10 minutes, I challenge you guys to pray over those things and pray with intention, pray with vision, pray with direction. And so 10 minutes. Give yourself the space and place, whether it's here in the building or outside on the grass. Pray with God. Give your things to Him. Give it your all. So 10 minutes. What? So to leave you guys off with this, and I hope this is an encouragement and also challenge, when it comes to our faith and when it comes to trusting God, it's the challenge here that I want to propose to you guys is just, do you believe that God will do something amazing in and through you? That's the first step. Is, do I believe that God could use me through my resources, through my certain skill sets, through my giftings, and do something amazing through that? Because when I look at my life and how beautifully broken and healing it's been, God has done tremendous things when I've just been like, okay, God, here's the brokenness. Do something. Make something from that. And he has. And he still is. And so I hope to encourage you in that when it comes to your time, your resources, your story, your experiences. In everything we do, are we going to give it all to him because he gave? Are we coming believing that he could use all those things and that he could heal all those things and he could bless all those things in and through our giving? So let's pray. God, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for each person here in this room and each person watching online and those that are going to watch this. I just pray that people are challenged and blessed, and they wouldn't leave from this room and this message the same, Lord. And I just thank you that we have opportunities like this. I thank you for what you are doing in each and one of our lives, Lord. And I just pray that we, learn to trust you more and challenge our hearts to give freely and willingly, Lord. Work in our lives, work in our hearts, work in our minds, work in our souls, Lord, to be more like you and love more like you, Lord. And I just thank you for this time of worship. I just pray that we're just going to be present with you, Lord. And I just thank you for this. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.